This is a Defocus Media production.
Hey, everybody. I'm your four-eyed professor, Chris Levens, and I'm super excited to talk to you today. Our roll call is for new and experienced ODs, optometry students, and even those just interested in this profession. We'll cover a number of topics together, and I'll help you see them through a professor's eyes. Please take your seats. School's in session. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for joining today. I have the utmost pleasure of having one of the most, if not the most, renowned ophthalmologist in the world with us today, Dr. Marguerite McDonald. Dr. McDonald, thank you for spending time with me.
My great pleasure, Chris. And to you, Marguerite, please.
Okay, appreciate that. So what I really want to talk about initially is what's terribly exciting in the treatment of patients. Rarely in our careers do we have the opportunity to have something that a lot of us didn't expect would come to treat in a newfound way. And now, hot off the press, we have Allergan's Vuity eye drop for the treatment of presbyopia. I've been able to work with you for the past couple of years leading up to this drug launch, and I'd love to hear your initial thoughts.
Well, I am just as excited as you are, Chris. It is a completely new area of ocular therapeutics. And I think the launch has been great. The Allergan had representation on a lot of the morning shows since the approval in, it was October 29th of 2021. They've gotten into AARP Bulletin. You know, there's a lot of buzz, but this week they launched their TV commercials, which are very, very well done. Have you seen them yet, Chris?
I did, and it made me smile. It is really impactful. It definitely caught my attention when I first saw the clip. And so I think consumers are going to be equally surprised because for the most part, they probably aren't even aware that this thing even exists yet.
I think you're right. And people will jam our phone lines and come pouring in to get a prescription for Vuity. And I've already put a bunch of people on it. I'm sure you have too. Mm-hmm. Most people really like it. I think it helps to give them a little advice. And my advice, and this is what most people I think are saying, is there may be a little bit of a brow ache that'll go away very quickly over the first few days. You may have a little bit of a sensation of dimming that also passes. So unless something is really upsetting to you, just power through for a week. And that advice seems to have worked very, very well. And most of my patients are delighted. How about in your experience?
Yeah. So when I first, I do it differently now than the first week I had it in my hands. And so here's where I changed. Given that both optometrists and ophthalmologists tend to work in very dark exam lanes. And given that most patients, when they fill a prescription or just pick up their prescription, tend to do it, I guess, best case over lunch, but commonly at the end of their workday, it occurred to me that a lot of patients who I was initially either dispensing in office as a trial or phoning in a prescription for them to pick up, or getting their first dose in their own eyes towards the end of a day or the afternoon where the sun's going down and then lighting becomes an issue. Because I had a number of early users say, well, they were getting some dimming of vision that really wasn't identified in the pivotal trials that the FDA approved to bring it to market in large part. And so I think it was the fact that they were dosing end of day, lighting was going down, lighting was an issue, or just in my exam lane when the lights were turned down, and they were noticing it more. So now I've almost universally sent the prescription to the pharmacy and asked the patients on their first few days of use to dose in the mornings. And I've gotten less of the early question, hey, Chris, how come my vision seems dim after using this drop? So I think time of day, make sure it gives them another chance that they don't prematurely judge the drug incorrectly and just quit. It gets them to stick with it.
Oh, that is great advice. I will incorporate that as well.
So pilocarpine is a drug that we're talking about, and it's been out for decades. Did you have an inclination over the years that somebody was going to be able to reformulate this, you know, drug into specifically something used for presbyopia?
No, I didn't. I mean, you know, pilo has actually been used in humans for 137 years, and we've used it in concentrations of 1, 2, 3, 4, and even 6% and 4 times a day. But I should not be surprised, because Allergan is famous for their formulation expertise, and they were able to re-engineer it completely. And we all know about the FAST technology, spelled PHAST, which allows it, because pilo was always stored at a very low pH for stability in the bottle, that burns and it doesn't penetrate the eye very well at that pH. Their technology brings it within 15 seconds almost, and by 30 seconds all the way to normal pH of human tears. So it's comfortable. It's more bioavailable, and the reflex curing doesn't wash it all away. I think it was a brilliant re-engineering job.
Yeah, like you, I mean, you know, I'm old enough to have prescribed pilocarpine for glaucoma patients. The percentages that I recall using was most commonly 2% and 4%, but it certainly didn't occur to me that somebody was going to be able to do this. And I remember the first thing I thought of when I heard of it was, well, what if I just go to my compounding pharmacy or a pharmacy who can just make it in a very low concentration to match Vuity? But what you just mentioned is the reason why that won't work, right?
Yeah, it truly is the secret sauce. It's a light and day difference, 1.25% pilo in Vuity versus 1% generic pilo.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that you and I have talked about previously, which was the really aggressive study design that Allergan did in their pivotal trials to bring this drug to market. They did some things that arguably they didn't have to do, one of which was really test the effectiveness of this drug on vision in really dim to dark light settings.
Yes. So the FDA, since this is the first drug going through the process of approval for presbyopia, just said, show us 3 lines of improvement in near vision. So they didn't mention that it had to be done at any particular time point, and they didn't say it had to be done in the dark. But Allergan tested in office and home light settings, the typical photopic conditions, and in a quote-unquote scotopic condition that was 25 times dimmer than the lighting in the average home or office. I mean, just an insanely high bar to hit. But they did hit it. They managed to show distance corrected near vision improved 3 lines or greater under those lighting conditions for up to 6 hours, which is quite amazing.
Remarkable. It really is remarkable. And it does make sense, because if you're employing a pharmaceutical for the treatment of vision, we, you know, human beings don't operate in only one visual environment. You know, we go from dim light to bright light to dark light to moderate light, and have all different, you know, viewing distances. And so, you know, a pharmaceutical that's successful really needs to help people see throughout their day and not just in one environment.
Absolutely. And their intermediate data are impressive too. Most of us are living in an intermediate world now, you know, with all of our digital devices at a different distance than we hold books. So their intermediate data showing really great near acuity out to 10 hours was impressive as well.
Yeah, no doubt. So we're talking about presbyopia, which doesn't have a cure. It affects practically all humans. The numbers are staggering. I mean, how many people do you think are going to use this product?
Well,
is there any way to know?
It is hard to know. I think there will be different types of users. There will be the people who use it every single day, in which case a bottle will last them a month with daily use in both eyes. Mm-hmm. There will be, I think, a lot of people, Chris, who titrate it a little bit. So $80 a month is not in everybody's budget, but if they use it sparingly, they'll make that bottle last 2 or 3 months. So maybe they'll use it to go on a job interview. Maybe they'll use it to go out Saturday night so they don't have to take reading glasses with them. You know what I mean? They'll use it for important occasions, but not every single day. If they're staying at home doing their taxes and their pajamas all of Saturday and Sunday, they're not going to use the drop. They're going to use their readers unless they have they're lucky enough to have it fit into their budget.
Yeah. One of the things that I was most curious about, since it had not and still has not been studied as a user myself, so my anecdotal evidence with an N of one, was, well, what's going to happen when I use the drop in my own eyes and I put on my progressive spectacle lenses, or I put on my soft multifocal contact lenses? Is it going to accentuate my vision? Is there going to be trouble with my vision? In particular, with the contact lens, the design that I wear has a center near design. And so I question, well, if my pupil gets locked in small and I'm only looking through the near power of the contact lens, is that going to disturb my distance vision? Which was great news to Allergan, and certainly exciting to me, was it didn't affect my vision whatsoever. Using the Vuity drop concurrently with my glasses just made me see a little clearer than I was even with my glasses alone. And with the contact lens, I did not have any trouble with distance vision. So that's only with the brand of progressive lens I was wearing and the brand of contact lens that I was wearing. But it definitely gave me some hope that there's going to be much less pushback in the ophthalmic community or confusion when the doctors say, well, I understand that this product exists, but how might that interfere with my glasses prescriptions, my contact lens prescriptions? And my early reaction is it shouldn't interfere at all.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
This just gives the doctor and the patient another choice. It's not replacing an option. It just gives them, and then in turn the patient, more life choices to be able to satisfy and improve their quality of life and vision.
Yeah, that's very reassuring. And it's a safety issue too. That's great.
So as this is still, weeks new, months new, have you heard any typical questions being asked of either potential patients who this might be suited for, or even providers who really aren't fully aware of all of the information regarding its use?
I think early on, people said, oh, it's just Pilo, some of the doctors, and that they've all been brought up to speed on that it's fundamentally different. A lot of patients ask if it's covered by insurance. It's not, and I don't think it ever will be. Like Upneek, it's kind of a luxury item. And as a matter of fact, I hope it never is, because we all spend so much time trying to get prior auths for drugs that the patients need or they will go blind. I would rather... fight for better coverage for drops that's really save vision, and let these continue to be considered a luxury item. Do you feel that way, Chris?
I really do. I think the incorrect assumption is when things are covered by insurance, or for that matter, when they go generic, it'll be less money. But that's not always the case. And in the world that we live in, topical ophthalmics, whether they're generic or brand name, tend to be quite expensive. In fact, some generic preparations are in the hundreds of dollars. And so, yes, $80 is a price point that perhaps not everybody can afford, but it's a fairly aggressively priced at a point where, presbyopic patients, tend to have more disposable income than my, 20-some-year-old daughter and son have. And so, they're at a point in their life when, they might be able to afford something which gives them, again, better quality of life with a better visual experience throughout their entire waking day.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And the very young might not be able to afford it, but they don't need it.
Right.
And the very old have probably had cataract surgery.
Exactly right.
the group 40 to 55 are in their peak earning years. And even if they have to make that bottle last 2 or 3 months, they should be able to work it into their budget.
Agreed. So what about, you know, so other things being studied, you know, any predictions on might come of them? Like I was involved in the BID or 2 times a day dosing of Vuity. The results not out yet. I know a night driving study is underway, potential future work for patients who are pseudophakes. Are there any other thoughts of potential research endeavors that you think would be wise to undertake?
Well, I think there are people with corneal scars mm-hmm. who really do have trouble with glare and halos from their corneal pathology. And I think, you know, people in the clinical trial did well driving at night, but I think there are quite a few people who would benefit from this to reduce glare and halos, night vision disturbances when they're driving. I think that group should be studied.
Absolutely.
But you've mentioned all the others. The interesting thing is, you know, a lot of people are already using it as a rescue drop for people who are unhappy with the outcome of their premium channel IOL. You know, they paid a lot of money to get this fancy IOL and they're unhappy with their near vision. I know for sure it's already being used as a rescue drop for some of those people. And it's being used in people who had cataract surgery 15 years ago before any of these premium channel IOLs were widely available. And they want to have good near vision and they're using it. So, and technically it's on label because the Vuity label says, this is for presbyopes. And so, you know, as long as you're presbyopic, it's on label. Not that we worry all that much about what's off label. It's still off label to use antibiotic drops after cataract surgery. Mm-hmm. Amazingly enough. I mean, it's malpractice not to use them, but you know, a great deal of our life as eye doctors involves using things in an off label fashion anyway.
Absolutely. So, you know, when it comes to selecting patients, you know, what patients might be of concern to you to maybe do a different type of investigation in your clinical encounter, or maybe just would not be optimally suited for this? You know, obviously pilocarpine was used in glaucoma patients for many years. You know, it's suited for narrow angle patients. There is a really remote risk of retinal detachment. And so for that, me personally, I just make sure they have a clean fundoscopic evaluation prior to prescribing the medication. But what types of things cross your mind?
So the clinical trial included people up to -4, mm-hmm. but I do worry about the high myopes. I think they need a depressed exam. By, you know, anybody who's comfortable with a depressed exam, an OD, an MD, a retina specialist, but if they get a good depressed exam to make sure they don't have lattice, and hopefully they both eyes have had a posterior vitreous detachment, that lowers the score,
right.
or I should say lowers the chance of an RD. But as a retina specialist in our practice told me, even if you have PVDs in both eyes, even if you have no lattice, if you're a high myope, the chance of a retinal detachment is low, but it is not zero.
Got it. Yep. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So what's next? You know, this is the first foray. It's the only product that we have in our hands for this condition. I think it's going to gain tremendous excitement, even beyond what it's already had, once these TV commercials start hitting the press. And as you said, patients really start calling us and coming in asking for it because it is so new. What do you predict the future is going to hold in the upcoming months? You just think there's going to be a mass excitement? You think people are going to test the waters and maybe spread word of mouth? You know, what do you think is going to happen in our offices?
I think there'll be mass excitement. I think pretty much everybody agrees in every conference I've been involved with, any ad board, everybody agrees that you have to do a dilated exam within the last 12 months before you write mm-hmm. the script. We're hoping that nobody just does telemedicine and meets somebody right. for the first time and gives them a script. But I think, you know, that's poor medicine. Pretty much everybody is in agreement on that one. I've heard some people say, oh, they have to have a dilated fundus exam within the last 6 months, but that's kind of, most people are just saying a year is good enough. Yeah,
that's reasonable.
But I do think, you know, there will be other medicines that get approved. There are other things in the pipeline. The newest competitor, or I should say the next competitor, is 18 to 24 months away, but it's coming. And I think the market is so huge. It's bigger than glaucoma. It's bigger than dry eye. Everybody who lives long enough gets presbyopic. I think it will segregate out. There'll be some drops that last longer than others. There will be some that sting less than others. There will be some that have a slightly different profile in regard to dimming or headache. So it'll all sort itself out. But the good news is, just like there isn't one IOL, you know, and there isn't one glaucoma drop, there's plenty of space in this arena, and it's the biggest arena of all.
No doubt. Well, then you reminded me of the last thing I really wanted to ask you about this topic, and that is, given all of your experience working with the FDA, the FDA approved this product earlier than Allergan anticipated. Is that surprising, or is that just something that occasionally happens?
I've never heard it happen before in my life, and I was especially surprised because the FDA was so completely involved in all things COVID. I thought approval would be late, not early. So that really was a shocker.
Yeah, me too. Oh, I lied. I do have one more thing, talking about things that really surprised me, and I think surprised you as well, that Allergan reported after surveying some of the clinical trial participants on the treatment arm, so on the Vuity product, when asked, would you ask for this prescription when it becomes available, the staggering percentage that said yes. Did that surprise you?
As I recall, it was 90%. That was a shocker, because these exit interviews from clinical trials are usually, I'm glad the trial's over. You know, don't want anything else to do with this medicine. You know, the 90%, knowing that it would be something they would have to buy, said they would buy it. That's remarkable, really.
100%. Well, I do appreciate our discussion on Vuity. It's, as I said, starting off, just I appreciate being at this point in my career, where something I never predicted was going to happen has not only happened, but it's in my hands, and I can hopefully change some lives of patients in a way that I couldn't do just a few months ago. Thank you again for joining us, Marguerite, and our best to you in the future. And for all of us, good luck with Vuity.
Thanks, Chris. Same to you.
Class is ended for today, and we have no exams or grades approaching. Please email me at foureyedprofessor@gmail.com if there are topics that you would like to hear and see through a professor's eyes.